and welcome to Dealcast from Mergermarket, the podcast that gives you essential news, data and analysis from around the globe. I'm Juliana Needham. In this episode, we're talking American energy. Things have changed significantly when it comes to the US's view on renewables and climate change. So how's that impacting private equity involvement in the sector? To find out, I'm joined by Carlos Martinez, who is the Canada editor for Mergermarket. Hi, Carlos. Thanks for joining me.
Hello.
So to begin with, could you give us a bit of background to the US's energy mix and how that's changed recently?
Yes, of course. So roughly speaking, about, I'd say, 57% of the electricity in the US is generated through still fossil fuels, mostly natural gas, but there's also some coal in there. The remaining, 43% is low carbon sources. So that includes nuclear, hydro, wind, and solar. And obviously wind and solar have been sort of grown the most in the last couple of years. So now wind and solar make up close to 20% of the electricity generated in the US up to now.
Okay, which is quite different to here in the UK and more broadly in Europe. Could you explain now about private equity's involvement in the renewable space in the energy transition so far?
Yeah, just a few years ago, it felt like a gold rush. Sponsors were jumping on nearly every renewable project that hit their desks. Thanks in small part to the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA, offered generous tax credits, grants, loan guarantees that slashed the cost of building new clean energy projects. But that rush came with growing pains, so to speak. Supply chain bottlenecks made parts scarce, and there were long grid connection delays as utilities scrambled to build out infrastructure. So even before any other changes that we're probably going to talk about, there were still some growing pains, just given how fast renewable energy was growing in the US.
Okay, so you mentioned the other changes. Could you tell us about what's changed this year? Obviously, there is a new administration with Donald Trump coming to power again into the White House at the beginning of this year. How has that changed things?
Yes, so Donald Trump, he's the drill baby drill type of president. So the biggest shift came from his one big beautiful bill, that's how it's called, I'm not making that up, which rolled back key tax credits from the Inflation Reduction Act, froze climate grants, and tightened project timelines for renewable projects, obviously. This, adding to the rising interconnection costs, the supply chain snags that I talked about earlier, so made private equity firms are now laser-focused on lower-risk late state projects, especially in niche areas like alternative fuels, gas capture, or distributed energy, which means generating and storing electricity near the point of use. So it's no longer this gold rush of whatever sounds or looks like renewables, private equity will invest. They're more focused on the late stage ones and those niche sectors. So it's not just solar; it's distributed solar. So that going close to the point of use, that's where private equity is focusing. And some sponsor back players like Greenwood Sustainable Infrastructure are even looking to Canada to hedge again short-term uncertainty in the U.S. renewable market. So when you had the Inflation Reduction Act, everyone was jumping into the U.S. trying to get those tax credits. And even Canada was complaining, they're taking away all our sort of investment in renewables. No one wants to invest in Canada. They rather go to the U.S. I think now it's the opposite, as in this case. Some private equity or sponsor-backed companies are looking back in Canada and saying, like, maybe that's a safer jurisdiction right now for renewables.
Could you tell me about the atmosphere or the sentiment for fundraising in this area? Because it feels like there's been a major change of tack in it, and it feels like it might actually be really difficult for funds that are specifically focused on climate change or the energy transition.
Yes. So I would say There's a change in the wording, the marketing, but mostly there's also a change in the sentiment from the limited partners, so the ones giving money to private equity firms. A few years ago, I'd say 2-3 years ago, if you went to a limited partner as a private equity firm and say, I'm going to raise money and I'm going to buy a portfolio of power plants. Say most of them are going to be natural gas, but I have 1, 2, 3 that are coal fire plants. A limited partner would probably say, no, I'm not going to invest in coal. We're not going to invest in fossil fuels. If it's not solar or wind, I don't want to hear about that. That has dramatically changed. And I think the main change is everyone realized the availability of electricity and sort of AI demands a lot of power. Data centers, they demand a lot of power, a lot of electricity. And everyone's come to realize wind and solar, renewable energy is not going to be enough. So now they're warming up to the idea, natural gas. So they call it the bridge fuel because sort of it's the cleaner of the fossil fuels and it's seen as a bridge to eventually getting to renewables. But even I was hearing from a source, even coal-fired power plants, some limited partners are saying, you know what? If it's only 2 or 3, I'm willing to back that up. I'm willing to sort of fund that type of deal, which wasn't heard of 2 years ago. So I think globally, everyone's come to realize there's not enough electricity out there. Wind and solar are not going to be enough. We need some, at least for medium term, fossil fuels. Obviously, natural gas is there. But so there's a lot of, well, not a lot, but there's coal-fired power plants in the US and limited partners are more welcoming to that idea.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, it was like coal was such a dirty word. And it just seems that that has changed dramatically now. It seems almost incomprehensible that there are some largely renewable focus funds that are also kind of looking at keeping coal in the mix. And also some of the big energy companies, certainly the ones based in the UK, there definitely seems to be a change of tone there towards coal as well.
Yes, yes, correct. I think you could see it in the way sort of we used to hear a lot about renewable energy, clean energy. And I think now it's more energy transition. And that sort of small change in phrasing, that just allows a more wider purview. So when you say energy transition, you're not just focused on renewables, you're not just focused on clean energy, but you can make the point, look, we're going to need coal because that's all we have, or we're going to need natural gas. And it also started with hyperscalers and technology companies. When they started asking for power for the data centers, I remember they were asking, I only want clean energy. But all of a sudden they realized, okay, I don't have enough power for my data centers. You know what? I'll take whatever.
Take any energy.
Exactly. Whatever you have, I'll take. It doesn't matter if it's wind or solar. So it's been progressively changing from all fronts. It's not just private equity. It's not just government sort of forced. It's sort of hyperscalers, data centers. Everyone's come to realize that we're going to need that transition.
And can you just expand a bit on that? Because a lot of the data centers, a lot of the cloud storage and processing facilities are in the US because it's where a lot of the technology companies are. So how does that fit into the mix? You mentioned that there just wasn't enough energy, but has that put a huge amount of pressure on utilities, on energy companies to create more energy and more electricity?
Yes, no, it's interesting that you mentioned that. So historically, utilities were not sexy targets for private equity firms. They are highly regulated with prices or fees set every 5 or so years. But as it becomes clear that regulated utilities are going to be essential in power that artificial intelligence infrastructure, i.e. data centers, private equity firms, particularly those focused on infrastructure, are starting to invest in these utilities. Just this morning, it was reported that BlackRock's global infrastructure partners is closing in on a $38 billion acquisitions of the utility AES.
Wow, that's huge.
That is huge. And most important part of it, someone was saying, like, utilities it was the boring, not sexy. And you have this electricity markets in the U.S., one of which, the most important one, PJM. And as I was saying, a few years ago, no one knew what PJM stood for, or what it was. And now everyone's talking about that just because it's sexy. Everyone needs electricity. So I think by acquiring or investing in regulated utilities, private equity firms are also hoping to secure power supply for their own data center portfolio. So remember, these are private equity firms. They're investing in different companies, different portfolios. One of them could be regulated utilities, but on the other hand, they could be doing sort of data center investing. So Blackstone, for example, it has agreed to acquire TXNM Energy, a regulated utility operating in Texas and New Mexico. But it just so happens that Blackstone also owns the largest and fastest growing data center platform globally, valued at around $85 billion. So Blackstone, it's making the smart move. I'm investing in regulated utility. I also have data center portfolio. I'm making sure that my data center has enough power. So it just did like a marriage of convenience, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting that the massive growth in AI and how that's having such a knock-on impact on electricity and the demand for electricity. You've covered quite a few already, but could you talk about any notable deals in the sector? And then maybe finish off by anything that we should be looking out for in the future going into 2026?
I think I'll start with the latter one. I think sort of the quick key question going forward, 2026 and beyond, is what's going to happen with private equity investing more and more in regulated utilities? And could that eventually lead to higher regulated electricity rates? So it's not crazy to think that private equity firms could be lobbying to those commissions that regulate electricity prices. And maybe they update those prices every 5 years to be lobbying and saying, hey, can we do it every 3 years? Can we do it every 2 years? And of course, they're arguing, we're probably going to be, look, we need so much power for data centers. We need to invest so much in infrastructure that just updating prices every 5 years, it's not going to cut it. You got to do it 2 years because we have to keep up with infrastructure. But of course, that means higher electricity prices. And that has already attracted the attention of politicians. So you have governors in Indiana, Pennsylvania complaining about rising electricity prices and sort of making different proposals. And even New York and Rhode Island have introduced bills proposing to cap utilities allowed return in equity. So I think that's 2026 is going to be that clash between private equity moving a bit more into regulated utilities and how that is going to affect politicians policy-wise. Of course, sort of in the U.S., there was this big issue about private equity being the bone in healthcare and whether that was beneficial for patients at the end of the day. I think you can have the same kind of discussion in terms of regular utilities, electricity prices, and private equity. And in terms of notable deals, I don't know if I specific notable deals, but I think there's this sense that technology giants, the Meta, sort of Facebook parent company, Oracle's, they are tiptoeing around power generation, utilities even, without actually directly investing in one of them. So I heard from a source, as they struggle to secure power for their data centers, so they signed this power purchase agreements, they're called. So for any given years, I'm going to purchase power from your utility at a certain price. One of those is actually right now negotiating one of those power purchase agreements. And one of the concessions is I will backstop a new power generation plant to make up for the electricity that I'm using. So in essence, you have Oracles of the world, Facebook, paying for power generation plants. They're not going to own it on paper, but they're very closely sort of tiptoeing around it. So I just wonder, personally, I wonder whether at some point private equity firms will be competing for those type of assets with the giants, like the Facebooks and the Oracles of the world. It's not happening right now, but it's not crazy to think that it might change in a few years.
Yeah, sadly, we'll have to leave it there. But it's interesting with the Three Mile Island nuclear plant restarting the year after next, backed by some of those big tech companies. So it's certainly something we'll be keeping an eye on. Carlos, good to speak to you. Thanks very much.
That was Carlos Martinez, who is the Canada editor for Merger Markets. And just to point out, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 1st of October. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Markets. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through an app that supports it, please give us a rating and review. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.